Welcome to the 24 Podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for 24 on Fox. I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
And tonight we're covering hour five. Well, no, not hour five. Hour seven, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Season 1/9. Not convoluted at all. A lot of stuff happened this episode. We've complained in the past that not much has happened in episodes, but this one, we got the first use of Hellfire missiles.
Oh, they blew up the fucking estate.
Oh, you're right, you're right.
The backup estate.
We got the first really scary use of them on the
okay.
public.
Sure, sure. All
yeah,
right.
How about that?
I'll back that.
Okay. I was slightly less impressed by the Hellfire missiles this time around. Last time, took out an entire villa. Boom.
Yeah, two of them.
Dismantled.
Though the construction codes on English villas. Sure, they look impressive.
Yeah, all that stone.
But they're made out of paper and plaster, apparently.
I guess so. Whereas the hospital is made out of, I don't know, adamantium or something. Not a big explosion coming out of that hospital. I looked up actual footage of Hellfire missiles being fired, and that looks fairly accurate.
Yeah, no, I think it's a
about
smaller.
The right size.
I think the smaller explosions, and granted, the villa one was two missiles together, I believe.
Okay.
But I did feel like the Hellfire's damage we saw seems pretty representative. That, you know, you can obliterate a vehicle, you can really fuck up a corner of a building, but it's not going to, like, destroy a stadium with a single blast.
Yeah, it's not like Dark Knight Joker style or Two Face style taking down. Entire building.
Right.
I guess they shouldn't name them Hellfire missiles, though. Hellfire, to me, says massive damage. Those are not...
It's the military,
raining down,
man.
Hellfire.
We should be lucky they're not named Giant Boner or...
They should be named, like... Those are the Black Cats of missiles. Like the Black Cats fireworks.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. The things that you just put fire to and they just kind of stretch out like... worms or whatever.
Sure.
That's basically what that was. It just filled the inside of that hospital with black foam.
Okay. I don't have a problem with the name Hellfire.
Okay.
It has to sound tough. It has to sound butch. Weapon systems.
It definitely does.
You know, you can't name a weapon system Daisy. You can name it Daisy Cutter. But you can't just name him Daisy or Petunia.
Yeah, but when you name it God's Righteous Anger and it's just a pop cap... That's no good either.
Ask the person standing on Ground Zero.
Okay. Anyway, let's talk less about Hellfire missiles.
Nobrow survived the full-on bus hit.
Yeah, she did. Barely. Barely.
I would think with the not having to have the brow to support the eyebrows that her... skull would be like a bird skull or an eggshell.
Sure.
But apparently it is thick as concrete.
Yeah, well, it's years of her mother abusing her.
Because not
just beating her in the head, she's got a lot of scar tissue.
Right on. I mean, I just think it's funny that the girl that got her finger cut off and looked like she was stricken with ass cancer got hit by a bus and less than an hour later is up on her feet, moving around.
Well, only because
life.
Jack Bauer told the doctor to pump her full of drugs to wake her up.
But... are they that effective? Because I kind of wanted some of that shit. I just did get out of bed in the morning.
Shoot me up.
Yeah. I drank a little bit too much last night. Can I get a shot of adrenaline right in the heart, please? Yeah! Oh, you're just out.
I'm awake, baby.
I suppose I could get cocaine. It's not that hard to find.
That's true, yeah.
So
same effect.
If I was really committed to the healthy lifestyle.
That's all they did in this episode is gave her cocaine.
That right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jack Bauer does not give a damn about British protocols.
No.
How dare those MI5 guys interfere with his operation?
He doesn't give a shit
British
about
soil.
American protocols. He's not going to give a shit about British protocols.
He doesn't give a shit about property rights?
Nope.
Oh, you think this is your van? Fuck your van. It's mine now.
I'm going to punch you unprovoked to take your car.
Well, hilarious this episode. What'd you think about the "my prime minister can beat up your president" bickering back and forth between?
I thought that was awesome, honestly. I was worried that Heller was going to go in to the prime minister and just try to, you know, have a friendly chat with him. Say, look, I really don't like what you did. No, He came in with his guns blazing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was appropriate and awesome.
I still think it's funny that this American president and American super agent are grousing about the British fucking up their operation that they're conducting in the British capital city. You know, there's something slightly surreal about how dare you interfere with our operation we're running on your sovereign soil.
Yeah, and not only that, it's like, but
what are
the
you doing
only...
with that guy? I'm taking him. Well, my orders come from the president. Mine come from the prime minister. We'll take it up with the president. I will. And he's still taking the guy.
Sure, yeah.
So the guy's like, oh.
And it's also the fact that the only people who have any threat here are the Brits. So what do you expect them to do? It's their soil.
Right.
It's their people who are going to die if you don't get this right. Of course they're going to want in on that.
And oh, by the way, the president is senile.
Yeah, and we know about it.
That he can be trusted. Oh, boy. I also like when the president talks to Jack, and he's like, Jack, did your contact work? And he's like, not really, but I'm going to go on to another crazy scheme. He's like, that's all right, Jack. You got my full support. It's like...
Yeah. Speaking of contacts.
Like, I'd be shit out of luck if it wasn't for the fact that this girl got ran over by a goddamn bus.
Yeah,
all right, keep up
much.
The good work, Jack.
Speaking of contacts, do we want to talk about the end where President Heller contacts Margot Alhazi?
No, man. I heard the word back channel. That's magic code for...
for don't question
it. Yeah, don't worry about it. How did the president get... the Skype account of Margot Alhazi?
I don't know. You would think if anybody would have that, it would be Jack Bauer, maybe Chloe.
Yeah.
Maybe Chloe is the back channel.
No,
I
but
doubt
I mean,
it.
Who is the back channel, and why wasn't this back channel used before you consider, you know, the rogue CTU agent that's wanted by the Russians and has another back channel that he has to kidnap a CIA agent and offer her as bait to use. It just seems like if you had a back channel,
it seems like
maybe that you could use those back channels to investigate what the hell she's doing and what she's up and where she's at.
And President Heller's back channel is way better than Jack's back channel, because Jack's back channel hates him, wants to kill him, may not even have the information he needs. What the fuck? Just get her Skype account and go.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I was a little annoyed by that. We see that, you know, Boudreaux, which I didn't actually know was Mark's last name, the chief of staff. Until this episode.
I
refuse to know it.
Yeah, by next episode, I'll not know it again.
Probably.
It's magic.
He's not cooperating with the president. The president is now hiding stuff from him. There's a lot of deceit going on in this White House.
There's moles on top of moles on top of moles. It's moleception. And one more layer and we're going to hit limbo.
Yep.
And be playing with the crumbling sandcastles of Leonardo DiCaprio. So let me see if I can get this straight.
Mm-hmm.
There is a mole at the CIA.
Correct.
That we don't know. He's just some douchebag that asked the poor man's Orlando Bloom if he could have, hey, could I have your access codes? No,
he's
fuck off. Okay, I'm going to fuck off.
One of the moles.
He's one of
the
moles
CIA.
That's there to observe and keep an eye on the main mole, who's Benjamin Bratt.
Yep.
Who has contact with another mole, who is the evil Mark Snowden. An evil Edward Snowden.
Edward
right?
Snowden, sure. Yeah.
Who
Chloe was working for. And who may or may not have a thing for Chloe.
Right. And who also has a... so he's got some shadowy connection to some other dude that is beyond the persecution of Kate's husband, apparently.
Okay.
Because
I could buy that. Why do you say that?
Well, because it's not Edward Snowden that gives a shit about persecuting, was it his name Adam? I can't remember. Kate's husband.
Kate's terrorist husband.
Surely he's not behind that. It's got to be somebody else.
Maybe.
That's trying to weaken the agency somehow.
Maybe it is him.
I'm just assuming. And then you've got Boudreaux, who's a mole for the Russians.
Who may be a benevolent mole. Like, he doesn't seem particularly dangerous with what he's doing, even though he's forging the president's signature on stuff.
What is he doing? So this was a personal vendetta to get Jack Bauer put away once and for good to get revenge for his wife, apparently.
I think so, yeah. And probably some horrible shit that he did in season 8.
Why didn't he just go to President Heller, President Grandpa in the first place?
and explain the situation and say, hey, your daughter would really feel justified. I know
that first day a lot of shit was going on and he's trying to manage it. And there's also this thing where, well, the president's losing his mind and I need to shield him from some of these things. But is that the explanation there?
I guess so.
What is going on with Merkin Mouth? Like, he seems like he's pretty insistent.
Deputy Minister, please. Yeah. Come on, Merkin Mouth is disrespectful.
he wants Jack Bauer for the Russians, and if he doesn't get it within... happens within an hour, right?
I guess so. I mean, it has to happen within the next, 14 hours or so? 13 hours now?
Yeah, I don't know. Still waiting for at the end of one of these, Jack to yawn real big and be like, I need a nap.
Yeah, yeah. No time skip this time either.
No, and I don't think they can because they still have a couple active deadlines bouncing around.
Sure. Next episode is 6 to 7 p.m. So.
And that's when the deadline for the president grandpa to give himself up.
Yeah.
Do you think he's actually going to do that?
I don't think so. He never actually said that. He implied that he had made his decision already.
Well, it would make sense because he now is ready to transition to the vice president, apparently, because he's owning up to the fact that he's going senile and has dementia. But so it would make sense that he would give himself up, although it's kind of hilarious that he's going to trust this international criminal to keep her word. My God, you people never learn. But I could also see, since they left it ambiguous, it's a cliffhanger. I could also see him doing some kind of badass thing where he uses himself as bait and then they end up catching her.
Leaves his cell phone on in his pocket and Jack Bauer traces it. Hides
up his ass.
That could also happen. Jack rides a Hellfire missile down, jumps off of it at the last moment, saves him.
Sir, I can hide in your ass. It's no tighter than any laundry chute I've been in.
What else do we want to talk about? I mean, that's basically everything that happened. The CIA earring and 90s hair computer guy got shot but not killed.
Oh, yeah.
He knows the jig is up. He knows his boss tried to kill him.
Yeah.
Right? He's not super dumb.
I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he's like, he's going to call Benjamin B-Rat the next episode. He's like, boss, you'll never guess. My first field assignment, I got shot. It was so fucking cool.
We need at least 4 stitches.
I fell in the water. I was going to die, but Davy Jones brought me back to life. I signed some 7-year contract with them. It's awesome. Being a field agent's even better than I thought it's going to be.
When's my next assignment? I have a feeling that he knows what's up.
Yeah. So is the little girl the niece of No Brows? Is she going to be significant for the rest of the season?
I don't think so. I think she's done. I think that whole line of questioning, they've now got Simone with them. So... they need to question anybody, they're going to question her. And Simone has kind of switched sides because she knows that her mother will blow up the hospital. She knows that she did now.
It's interesting with her in it. It's like, you're going to actually kill me? How dare you? But
yeah, my pinky? Oh, no, not a big deal.
Yeah, why would she think that she would be safe? It doesn't make sense because she saw that she killed her husband for betraying her. She's betrayed her several times at this point. She cut her finger off.
Yep.
It's a little weird that it took, oh, well, no, seriously, she's going to blow up this building with you in it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess she's in denial, right? She's trying to say, give her the benefit of the doubt. Well, she took my finger to keep the plan online, and that's kind of what I wanted, and we're all working towards the same goal, but you know, firing a Hellfire missile at me, not cool.
Yeah. I do think that I just wonder, there's something I wondered in this episode is whether her brother, who I think is the drone jockey.
Yeah, pilot slash.
If he'll turn rogue as well and betray his mother. Although it seemed like he was really into killing his sister towards the end.
Yeah. He was really happy about firing Hellfire missiles.
We also can't talk about No Brows without talking about the return of good guys torturing in 24.
Sure.
We talked a lot about, you know, how this is a new age and you know, we've come to a different appreciation of torture and maybe not stomach our heroes doing anymore. Jack Bauer does not hesitate on a confessed terrorist to work that existing injury to cause enough pain for her to pass out.
That's the interesting thing, though, right? It doesn't work. It completely backfires on him.
Hmm.
And he said he admits as much on their walk out of the hospital.
Yeah. So you think that's going to be the own lone instance of torture and it's a repudiation of it?
It could be. It could be.
Hmm. It's just interesting that they actually went there. Mm-hmm. I also thought that was funny that... So I have no idea how in the world Kat Stark is tracking Jack Bauer. Like, out of all the people fleeing the hospital, she's able to, from the drone height, zoom in randomly on a car. That's them. Track them.
Yep.
Then Jack Bauer pulls into a traffic snarl and just bails out. Everyone's – and I just says, I got to try this sometime. In the middle of a traffic jam, I'm going to bail out of my car. And when people start honking, and I'm going to be like, keep honking, assholes. The hellfires are coming. punches a dude out, takes off. But then Jack did a kind of clever thing where he put the old brick on the gas pedal, put it in gear underneath the bridge. It comes roaring out to hellfire it. But Margot backs up and she sees that the car is empty, but I'm not certain how she knew that. Because we were looking at the dash and it's like, well, there's where the steering wheel. Could she really tell that people's knuckles aren't on that? What if he's a understeer driver?
Yeah.
You know, like I drive with my hand on the bottom of the wheel most of the time.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a 10 and 2. You think Jack Bauer's a 10 and 2, dude?
Fuck no.
Shit, no. Jack Bauer is a 6 o'clock, man, just rocking that wheel.
Yeah, well, he's got the other hand on a gun or a cell phone at all times.
Oh, yeah.
So... yeah, that it's a little suspect, but
I guess there's the moon roof. Does she just see the fact that Simone's not around there bouncing around like a rag doll?
I guess you could.
Maybe that's what it is. But it's amazing how well she's able to track them from her vantage part.
So at this point, she's lost track of Jack, but she has, she knows that he's still alive. She doesn't think she's killed him. So when he shows up, she will not be surprised.
Yeah, pretty horrific, the survivors of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was
the woman with her
gruesome
arm
way to
off.
Show the stakes, because you have 8 minutes to evacuate a major metropolitan hospital. It's not going to even get halfway underway, and we could see the result. People with our limbs blown off. It was pretty horrifying.
Sure. I mean, when do you start? Like, how many minutes into the eight-minute thing before you start wheeling gurneys down the stairway? Like... All right, dude, I'm going to push you, and you're going to go.
Right.
But it's this or death.
Right.
So enjoy the ride.
We can fit three gurneys into these elevators.
Yeah, the rest have to go downstairs. The
rest, we got to chuck you downstairs. Yeah, it'd be one thing if they knew where.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you could evacuate them to another wing, but, the hospital as the target, who the hell knows? Anyway, I thought that was actually... interesting. It's very rare that the show actually has stakes that that actually amount to anything, and attacking hospitals pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Frankly, no. Let's do some feedback.
All right. Larry B says, I've really enjoyed your other podcast, but I have a question. Do you guys even enjoy watching 24?
Oh yeah.
Bros, do you even watch 24? Do you even enjoy it?
It
seems like you're
watching
a show out of obligation to a podcast for your fans. Just curious if it's something you look forward to watching. Thanks for all your hard work. So we get this asked traditionally of shows that are not exactly the A-list shows. You know, very rarely is this accusation leveled to us about like Mad Men or Fargo.
Uh-huh.
You know, shows where we can just sit back and gush. Okay, it's only shows where there's a lot of horseshit going on.
It's where we call the show out and also where we don't take it seriously.
Yeah.
I just have a hard time taking the show seriously because it takes itself so seriously, and I really enjoy watching it. It's not like... I can kind of shut my brain off and just go with this story and say, okay, Jack's going to do what he's going to do. And I'm having fun.
Yeah, the president's going to talk directly to Osama bin Laden. Yeah, this is the kind of show we're dealing with, and the technology aspects we're going to play fast and loose with. I think it's really funny, and I enjoy – it's definitely something I enjoy doing, but I enjoy doing it at this level. If I had to pretend that I thought everything was awesome or that, like, you know, I'm just hanging on pins and needles for every single revelation, that would not be fun to do.
Yeah, it's like it's something that I'm going to watch anyway.
Right.
I cannot do the type of podcast that a quote-unquote true 24 fan would want me to do. I'm just going to do the kind of podcast that I like to do and have fun with it. And that's That's all I can do.
But I just don't think that there's a lot of people to watch 24 at this point in time, you know, like the way they did seasons 1 through 3, for example.
Yeah.
When it was all new and we didn't know what was going on. And, you know, it's very early in the golden age of television.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our podcast covering those seasons would be very different, too.
It would be, yeah.
But still, you know, season 2, when Kim gets menaced by a cougar, we'd probably be howling on the floor laughing at that.
Yeah, I mean, certainly.
It's always been part of the show's DNA. So mm-hmm. I guess hopefully it answers the question. If you think we're doing this because we're chasing traffic, though, I could almost literally record farts and get the same size audience we're pulling regularly with the 24 podcast. So
yeah,
we love it on some level, or we wouldn't be doing it. Michael H said earlier in the season, I noticed an actor from Scotland playing an aide to Boudreau. Ross McCow plays Ron Clark, the guy who hands Boudreau the rendition order, giving Jack to the Russians. He's the one that tells Boudreau that he needs the president's signature on the order. He played a villain in one of the episodes of the fine British TV series Luthor. Again, he played an American, this time a criminal trying to kill Idris Elba's character. Here's the funny part. Mr. McCall seems to have based his American accent on watching old Cagney movies or maybe watching Chicago characters from Boardwalk Empire.
Oh,
he has an affected way of talking through the side of his mouth, which makes him seem like a cartoon character. Pay attention to this recent episode when they show, and he's talking about the last week's episode, when they show the scene with him and Boudreau again. He has a little dialogue. He has a little dialogue, so it's less obvious, but he's still doing it. For a laugh, play the episode of Luther where he appears and watch him chew up the scenery in that voice. I like to hear the two of you try to speak with a healthy Northern Scottish brogue. I think we've all earned that right.
Oh.
You're in luck, sir, because it just so happens Jim possesses a fine Scottish brogue.
Oh, no, don't hype it. Don't hype it, because people will be disappointed.
Aye, laddie, I'm hyping it.
No, you don't hype it. Christ, what are you doing?
I'm hyping it to the hills.
All of my Scottish brogue is based completely off of Braveheart. So
hyping it to the Highlands.
Like, you want me to say William Wallace, I can do it.
How about Making Barrels, do your old classic Making Barrels routine?
Shit, I don't even remember how that goes. You were making noise and I told you were making barrels.
Yes.
No, you've got as much Scottish brogue as you're going to get from me. Sorry.
Maybe we'll...
I gave you just a taste of it.
Just a taste. Yeah. Probably just a tip of the Scottish Brogueberg.
Scottish iceberg, yep.
With this guy. That's it for the feedback. If you'd like to join in, you can see our live, our show threads on facebook.com/baldmove. I was remiss again. I cannot remember to do this on Monday nights. I'm going to have to set an alarm on my phone.
To even make the Facebook post for people to talk?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Forget participation.
No, well, I mean, that's the thing. I'm not gonna watch it live because I got a whole bunch of other things going on. But
sure.
But I do like to put the discussion so people can talk about it if they'd like. And I've been a real shit about that. I'm sorry.
You're a DVR +7 kind of guy, huh?
Yeah. +3 in this case, or +2.
+2. Okay.
We always have the podcast show. So if you got some feedback you want to leave on the podcast, you can do that on Facebook as well. You can tweet at Jim at BaldMove and also 24@BaldMove.com. Always, I know we're discouraging people and we saw this as more of an instant podcast mode, but now that we're not doing instant podcast, shit, send in the emails, 2424@BaldMove.com. Hey, speaking of liking the show and liking the podcast, if you do like the podcast and you appreciate the kind of irreverent take we're bringing to it, the only reason we're casting about 24 at all in any capacity whatsoever is because we started doing this as a full-time job this year, and the only way we can do that is with your guys' support. So if you'd like to support us on subbable.com/baldmove, it is a voluntary subscription site where you can pledge anywhere between $0 and $10,000. I think that's a max.
I think so.
I know there's people out there that's clamoring to give us more, but they...
Sheik, I mean, he's been really saying...
And I'm not even making it up. For Patriot Act compliance, they cannot accept more than $10,000 in a single month. So you're limited. I'm sorry, we're working on it, but, you know, we can't let the terrorist win. So give us $10,001 and the terrorist will win.
Mm-hmm.
But until that day, you can give us up to $10,000, up to $9,999 at Subbable.com. And the best part is you'd get like buku prize. You get all the prizes if you donate at that level. You could commission custom podcasts from now until the cows come home. We couldn't complete all the custom podcasts before we died. It's starting to sound like giving us $10,000 is a bad deal. I don't want to discourage anyone, but it might not pay off for you is all I'm saying. Another way you can support us is go to amazon.baldmove.com and use our affiliate link. Just by doing that, just throw on Amazon, just throw on a bald move between the Amazon and the .com. And by doing that, everything you buy on that shopping cart experience, we get a tiny cut off. It doesn't cost you anything. There's no shipping and handling charges. There's no bald move fee. We just steal money from Jeff Bezos.
Mm-hmm.
We send a drone, it vacuums money out of his pocket, and we buy single malt scotch.
Yeah.
And then we use that to produce the podcast. It's the circle of life. If you can't do any of that shit, at least rate and review us on iTunes, because that'll help us pump up this audience and get some more easy marks that will. I think that's it now. We will see you this time next week for the latest installment of the Jack Bauer Power Hour.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim. See you then.